This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's been pressuring the Justice Department to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says over the weekend, the president addressed a message on social media to PAM, meaning Attorney General Pam Bondi, in which he wrote, "Something must be done."
Adding, "We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. Justice must be served now." President Trump calling for cases against Democratic Senator Adam Schiff, former FBI Director James Comey, and New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Today, the president's expected to make an announcement on autism, and the Washington Post is reporting the administration will link Tylenol use in pregnancy to autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows the drug is safe. Tens of thousands celebrated the life and work of Charlie Kirk at a memorial for the conservative activist in Arizona. And the UK and Australia said they'll recognize a Palestinian state, angering Israel as the UN General Assembly begins. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
An expanded data center is coming to Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
16 months ago, President Biden was in office campaigning in Racine County, with Microsoft announcing a $3.3 billion investment. Now Microsoft is making another bet on Wisconsin, announcing an additional $4 billion expansion of its Mount Pleasant data center campus. The move brings the company's total investment in the state to more than $7 billion. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers calls it a major boost for jobs and technology growth. During the campaign event last year, Microsoft Vice Chairman and President Brad Smith, who called Racine County home as a child, talked about the statewide impact of the initial spend.
We are creating manufacturing jobs across the state of Wisconsin. As we get steel from near Wausau, as we get chillers from La Crosse, as we get generators from near Madison. This is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
Microsoft says the project will support nearly 10,000 jobs, with a caveat of those taking place during peak seasons. Environmental concerns still hang over the project as water use and energy demands remain hot topics. One lawsuit recently pushed the city of Racine to reveal that the data center campus could use 8.4 million gallons of water a year. That estimate does have the city of Racine falling within approved lake limits. Environmental groups also warned about the power needs. They say the Microsoft project and another in Port Washington could call for more power than every home in Wisconsin combined. A separate proposed data center in Caledonia in Racine County is also facing local pushback over farmland lost and rezoning questions. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Some good news and bad news. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The good news is, for a third year in a row, the Brewers headed into the playoffs as divisional champs. The bad news is, it'll likely be without starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who suffered a lat strain in his upper back.
Obviously, it sucks. This is something that is a side effect of the surgery I had, and it's kind of terrible timing in that sense for, the team. The biggest goal for me was to finish the year healthy.
The crew in San Diego tonight against the Padres. College football, the Badgers now 2-1 after losing to Maryland 27-10 over the weekend. Wisconsin has their bye week, followed by a trip to Ann Arbor to face number 19th ranked Michigan. NFL, the Packers stunned, losing 13-10 to the Browns in Cleveland on a last second field goal.
It's extremely disappointing to be in a position to win the game and to have the script totally flip on you. It's tough to deal with.
As head coach Matt LaFleur with sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise more clouds than sun, with an isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Again tonight, an isolated shower or storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, a mild night with lows near 60. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, yeah, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in
chess.
Listen to you laugh.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinair on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 22nd. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. And we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley, by Selena Heller, by Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, to talk about weather on the day as well. And we have State Senator Kelda Royce joining us 30 minutes from now to talk about her run for governor. And if you missed it earlier, we'll tell you how the Brewers have done on their way to getting that pesky magic number out of the way as Kristen highlights her Brewers jersey for your Central Division champions for the third year in a row. But now it is time. Yep, it's we get to unveil it right here at 7:07 on a Monday morning. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold, as in cash and jewelry. Here's how to play. The texting is done through the Civic Media app. You're going to look up a station, and you're going to hit the text button that's in there. And for the 7 a.m. hour, you have to text us this hour's keyword before 8 a.m. There will be seven, count them, seven chances to enter throughout the day with different keywords each time. Then of all the day's entries in this multi-state, multi-station game, one lucky winner each day will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. Then one really lucky winner for the whole two-week contest will win this grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play some football. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of this grand prize package is more than $1,500. Now, the fine print, because it's the first time we're doing this. Each entry will get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity, such as signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Winners will be contacted by Civic Media within 5 business days, first by text. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/contest-terms. All right, you ready? Here's this hour's keyword to text us before 8 a.m. The keyword is new. N-E-W. New. Text that before 8 a.m. to be part of the Go for the Green and Gold contest. Your next chance to enter will be during the 9 a.m. hour of Matinair on Air. 7:09 now as we head over to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It was thunderstormy, keeping some of us from getting a full night's sleep across Wisconsin. But we're now, because it's the first day of fall, I get to use this line. Well, Brittany, it ain't snow yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, little,
it's pretty
little
snow when the leaves
little
fall.
Victories, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Happy fall almost.
Happy fall, y'all. Oh, mm-hmm. One of my favorite seasons. Unfortunately, though, we're starting it off a little dark, a little dreary, very foggy in places. Dense fog advisory until 10 a.m. to almost noon in some spots where this thick stuff is going to be hanging around. It's off of Lake Superior right now, also off of Lake Michigan, moving its way a little bit inland there into the Fox Valley. So hard to see. Drive safe this morning. Temperatures are in the mid-50s north to mid-60s south. And highs today will hit the mid-60s north and probably scrape about 80 degrees into areas towards Madison and down south towards the state line. So we've got a blob of rain moving across the state. It's covering Rhinelander, Wausau, into Stevens Point, over to La Crosse, and it's starting to get strong into Tomah, where Motson and Reedsburg, you're now in a severe thunderstorm warning, where you could see winds up to 50 to 60 miles per hour and maybe some hail too. So most of these are not expected to be severe, but there is that chance as this front is just stalled over the states. It's draped from La Crosse all the way pretty much to Sheboygan right now. So a lot of the rain today is going to stay north in the morning, but then this afternoon, after that line moves off to the east, a little tail is going to form in central parts of the state, and that is going to sweep south as we go through this afternoon and evening. So the rain will hit Madison and Milwaukee area later tonight, continuing through the overnight. You could still see some lingering south in the state tomorrow morning before we start to dry out by the afternoon. But up north, you're going to be dry all day tomorrow, and temperatures stay comfortable in those low to mid 70s for the rest of the week, and it looks rather dry too. So after this system passes, it looks brighter ahead. Lots of fall colors popping too.
I was going to say, I hope so, because this system has been especially annoying sitting here as it has the whole weekend. But what it hasn't done is it hasn't like been one of those systems where it blows all the leaves off the trees before you even get a chance for them to change colors and enjoy it.
Right. So, that's usually the case here for us. So thankfully it did not.
It often is. So we've still got some time to enjoy this first day of fall. And we've been asking people to share with us, what do they love most about fall in Wisconsin? What is it that they love to do? So again, you can text that through the Civic Media app, or you can put comments on our Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, remember, sign up for all kinds of newsletters here. The Up North News Daily Newsletter. There's also my Sunday morning one with a question of the week, where I say, if there is a government shutdown next week, as is quite possible, whose fault will it be? And Civic Media has a new daily newsletter as well, Civic Media Today. Head over to substack.com, civicmediatoday.substack.com, to learn more. Ooh, I let Brittany go before saying good morning from Tigerton from Rob. Cloudy, light rain, 58 degrees over the weekend. Tigerton had 2 inches of rain and some really loud thunderstorms, the first thunderstorms since August 16th, when the old Crossroads Bar in Tigerton burned down. He said yesterday he watched the NFL Today 50th anniversary show, which included original host Brent Musburger and the current NFL Today cast dressed up in the fashions of 1975. Did any of you watch that at all?
No.
Did you see it, Parker?
I saw clips of it afterwards, and I was really upset that I didn't watch it.
Uh-huh. I did not know that it was coming. You know, the old sets, the old graphics, and yeah, they had like... they pasted on like the cheesy 70s mustaches and things that they
JJ Watt killed it. Him and Ian Eagle looked awesome.
Except, yeah, I mean, he was cracking himself up with how 70s he looked.
Oh, yeah.
But it was nice. It was pretty fun. Let's see what else. And of course, Rob says, happy fall, y'all, from him as well. And Alicia says, it's raining here in Shawano. So we've just got that kind of a day out there today. Again, Kelder Royce is coming up in the next half hour here. I was also going to say, in our Up North News daily newsletter, there's an article in there today about Wisconsin businesses that employ the disabled and make them a good chunk of the workforce. And Selena, that kind of independence is especially, well, it's wonderful compared to generations back when people used to just be, you know, institutionalized or forgotten. And now there's this feeling that, you know, we're about to see a new generation of, you know, Donald Trump's disposable people, because, I mean, to him, the people that count the most are the ones who are well off. And he's under the mistaken belief that they are well off because they're somehow better, somehow more essential. They're the ones who deserve help, quote unquote, like tax breaks. And look, for the rest of the political class, they think if you're not doing well, that's on you. Maybe you can live off the benevolence of others, but not through anything done collectively through the government, you know, like Medicaid helping people with disabilities. So Selena's got a report that you can see on her social media that helps put a face on these people that so many people in politics now consider to be disposable. And in this case, we're talking about a young man named Josha Kreitz-Kumal and his mother, Rachel Kreitz. And that's the mom that you talked to all about what the good services are that these programs through Medicaid do.
Yes, we talked for a very long time. She was so passionate. She just she pulled off over the pulled to the side of the road, and she was in her car, and we chatted for a long time. She was on her way back from something. So she says her son Josha could be the face of Medicaid because by the age of 15, he had completed 14,000 hours of autism intervention services, like therapy, and that was paid for by Medicaid to help him in his challenges. And she says she feels the Trump administration has considered disabled people expendable. And here is Rachel Kreitz from Milwaukee.
We understand that the perception is that my son's life is not of the same value that anybody else's life is. And honestly, cutting Medicaid and devaluing that program has in a very immediate way demonstrated that lack of respect and value for the lives of people with disabilities.
If I sound a little harsh in judging how people who favor these budget cuts view people with disabilities, you can understand. It's kind of rooted in the repeal and replace category. You say you want to repeal something that's costing money you don't want to spend, but there's nothing to really replace it with. And in this case, Selena, what's being repealed is that dignity and sense of independence through the ability to work a job.
Like we might have lost Selena there.
I think so.
And
maybe.
Selena is frozen, so I'll just jump in and say you're right.
Okay, let's hear more. Let's hear more from Rachel Kreitz.
My son, on the other hand, and people with disabilities more generally, are just like you and me. My son wants to work. That is his goal upon graduation. He will tell you he wants to be professional and independent. What's your goal for today, Josha? What do you want to do at work? I want to be professional and I want to be independent. And he is working very, very hard to be exactly that. But to be it, he requires vocational support. He has a job coach that is paid for through Medicaid. He will show up at work as much as he can. He's currently working three different jobs and he loves it. But if his Medicaid funding is decreased and his job coach doesn't have the funding to work with him, then my son's hours at work will be cut. And if the funding drops down too low and my son loses his job coach, he won't be able to work.
And Kristen, it's not just that Josha won't be able to work, but chances are he'll need some kind of home health care that he would otherwise be getting through other services, which is going to take parents or other family members out of the workforce as well. Again, short-sighted doesn't nearly begin to explain these Medicaid cuts.
As a society, we have to decide whether we are going to invest in people, regardless of what our challenges are, or if we're going to divest and institutionalize and isolate these folks who have so much to share. And you can hear this mom advocating for her child. And it is true. There are so many of these folks who just don't have a voice, including, hey, I hear you out there, Rob. I know you want to speak up because we've had this conversation. So I really want to encourage disability advocates to use your voices because this is the time if you're living with a disability. If you need help, we need your voices to help people understand what's at stake here.
That is Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's going to hang around for our interview with State Senator Kelda Roy's candidate for governor coming up just about 15 minutes from now. And then we'll talk to John and Gordy from our civic media station in Madison in our next hour as well. Jimmy Cuska will give us a little bit of sports, and Jane Matinere will tell us what's coming up on her program from 9 to 11. That's all ahead. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back on this Monday morning, September 22nd, 2025. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Up North News reporter Selena Heller is back with us now after that internet hiccup. And before she was so rudely interrupted by technology, we were talking about her interview with Rachel Kreitz and her son, Josha, who has autism. And thanks to more than 10,000 hours of therapy and all kinds of vocational training and other things through Medicaid, he's able to hold down jobs. But That's the kind of independence that could be lost with these coming cuts from Medicaid. And by the way, it's worth saying again, people going, well, I haven't seen any cuts in Medicaid. No, you haven't. The cuts are timed to arrive after next year's midterm, but they've been passed. These things are coming unless things change. And so when you talked to Rachel about this, she definitely has the right perspective on the funding that helps her son, Josha. It's being taken away from people who benefit greatly from it, gives it to people who don't need it, and leaves no replacement for those who would otherwise be in institutions, or maybe it takes other family members out of, you know, their jobs because now they have to care for these people. And Rachel's right to sound a little alarmed about this.
Well, right. She says, you know, it doesn't make any sense. How does this even make sense? And she tries to explain it to Josiah. He's 22 and he can't wrap his head around, you know, of course, you know, his help being taken away from him potentially. And I mean, there are 2 million people, autistic people in this country who benefit from Medicaid. And so there are a lot of families who will be left to kind of fill in all of those gaps if this really comes to fruition. And she says, just Medicaid is a lifeline. It's essential to their daily lives. And so this is more of what Rachel had to say.
It's not an agenda that supports people, millions of people who need and deserve the support. And instead, it hands over critical funding to people who don't need a job coach and don't need transportation services and can live on their own and maybe have 5 houses already of their own. My son just wants the chance to have a roommate and at some point move out with his supports. And that's what is potentially being taken away from him. When you cut the funding, you take those opportunities away. And again, before we funded this stuff, historically, people lived in, they had, you know, very different life. They did, the people with disabilities lived in institutions. I hope that is not where this country is taking us back to, but I fear that if the cuts are implemented, that over time, that is exactly where this is leading us. And that's a very, you know, back to the beginning of the conversation, how do you feel? We feel scared. We feel scared about what this says about our future and other people's futures.
And Selena, Kristen, I mean, folks are already reacting to that from Colleen. She says, my sister is one of these people on Medicaid services and work programs, receives family care support with Lakeland. I worry that more employers are scaling back already. She says companies are already planning and scaling down. Tony says hospitals are definitely setting budgets to these cuts as well. And so impacts are starting to be felt. And, you know, Kristen, from a political standpoint, from what I said earlier, like these cuts are going to come in, you know, after the midterms. And so people might be thinking, oh, well, then there's still time to, you know, pull them back. No, these plans are already being made. There will still be an impact of some sort or another on people.
Absolutely. These plans are being made. And I think they thought they were clever by waiting until after the midterms before the real hammer fell. But hospitals have to make budgets and they have to plan in advance. So that's why, you know, to Tony's point, they're already starting to make those cuts. They're already starting to think about the future and they're already starting to think about how they're going to live without that federal money. When you hear about rural hospitals, for example, and the money that they put back into rural hospitals, it's a third of what they would have otherwise invested in rural hospitals that are already struggling. So things are about to get really scary and we are going to need to support each other, help each other out, and speak up for each other, our most vulnerable community members, and that is especially the disability community.
Is that pretty much, Selena, where Rachel left things with you? Is just, you know, she's speaking out and urging other people to do the same?
Exactly. And she says, you know, she does that in her community and with other parents who are in positions like hers. They contact their legislators all of the time. And she said, you know, there's still an opportunity and you still have to keep working. And she does that. She's pretty a big advocate for her son, of course, and for others, because she knows how it is to be in similar shoes.
Mm-hmm. That again from Selena Heller. And you can see her video report on that on Up North News social media feeds. Kristen, you were in St. Louis. We talked earlier about the American College of OBGYNs, ACOG. But you also managed to take in a Brewers game since they were in St. Louis. and you just happen to be at the one game of the series where they did really well.
What is it about the Cardinals and the Brewers? Or is it just that I have PTSD from 1982?
From 1982. It's just a holdover. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that game went into extra innings. So they played three games. They got crushed in the first game. Mm-hmm. The second game went into extra innings, which was like a brilliant end. And then yesterday they lost too. Come on, guys. You got this.
But they did. They did clinch the division. So they did. We got that going for us, which is nice. Again, Selena's report, you can see on Up North News social media feeds. And Kristen has the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show Saturdays and Sundays at 3 o'clock on 98.3 and 96.5 in the Oshkosh Appleton areas, and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on 97.9 and 1590 a.m. in the Green Bay areas. Kristen's going to hang around and help me here talk to Senator Kelda Royce, candidate for governor. Selena, you have a great day. We'll talk to you a little bit later on.
Thank you. Sounds good. You too.
All right. So much more ahead here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
We've had an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses due to plenty of rainfall timed during the summer slump. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to be talking with some pasture experts after this.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. Jason Cavadini joins us. He's a grazing outreach specialist with the Division of Extension. He says this year has offered some of the best forage growth he's seen in a decade. Even more good news, September and October tend to be the best parts of the pasture's growing season.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So like, typically, we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. This year, that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor.
Extension grazing specialist Jason Cavadini says it's crucial to keep grasses and legumes in a leafy growing state, and that means managing mature growth carefully. You can find the full interview at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're always tuned in to what you're listening to. If you missed a big story, don't worry, we've got your back. Here are the top five most listened to stories from this past week. At number five, from $5 to 35,000 mums, the blooming success of Honeymoon Acres. At number four, tips and tricks to keep ticks off your back. Number three, a new bill aims to help beginning farmers find land. At number two, cattle producers are urging folks to speak up against a proposed fee hike. And the number one most listened to story of the week, livestock markets also push back against what they're calling an excessive fee increase. Stick with us for more of the stories that matter most right here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise more clouds than sun with an isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Again tonight, an isolated shower or storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, a mild night with lows near 60. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nice to have you back here at 7:35 on a Monday morning, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, where this hour we have kicked off a new round of our Text to Win contest. This one's called Go for the Green and Gold. There's a green and gold to be won every day. Seven chances to win throughout the day, different keywords each time. Text in those keywords each day of all those entries. Somebody's going to win $200 cash. That's the green. And then there's a gold-plated chain as well. And then of all the entries, all of them out there, one lucky winner is going to win two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, a noon game plus a gas card to get you there. So before the end of this hour, you've got to text in new, N-E-W. Head to the Civic Media app, call up one of the stations, use the text feature, and text in the word new, N-E-W. Senator Kelderoys is going to join us in just a moment, but first, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well, I asked people at the start of the show, in honor of fall beginning this afternoon, what's so great about fall in Wisconsin? And Jim in Brookfield, I find the change in climate the most enjoyable part of fall. The bright colors on the trees, cooler temps, a lower sun angle make being outside a nice fall experience. I will be outside as much as possible this fall while recovering from knee surgery with coffee and apple crisp. So, fellow knee replacement person, Kristen Lyerly, I think he's got a good idea.
I like your style, Jim.
Especially the apple crisp.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make a visit down to the orchard later today, I think. I love this time of year.
Sherry made a second batch of apple crisp because apparently somebody inhaled the first batch. Possibly the guy she's married to.
Who could that have been?
Who could that have been?
Great for breakfast. Just
hey, it's Build a Better Breakfast Month, apple crisp.
That's and it's how Hobbit Day.
Breakfast. Yes,
so you exactly. Get to do it twice.
Two breakfasts are great. Here comes Senator Kelderoys joining us as well, candidate for governor for all of 1 week now. Senator, nice to have you here. Good morning.
Great to be with you.
Yeah. So 1 week in, no regrets. You're going to keep going?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been just a wonderful week. The response has been overwhelming, and I think people are really excited about the possibilities of what we can build in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously, we've had you on several times talking about legislative experience and some of the important issues that are out there. So, and even since your announcement, the candidate field has grown even larger. So I wanted to start off by asking something I'm sure you've thought about, knowing there are going to be multiple candidates in the race. What is it about you that's going to set you apart that when this primary is held in August of next year, what are voters ultimately going to see in you that's going to make you the Democratic nominee next year?
We know that when voters are looking at who they want to be their governor, experience really, really matters. And at this point in Wisconsin's history, it matters even more. And that's because in 2026, we are very likely going to have a really narrow window to make big changes in our state, to really recommit to public education and funding our university and early childhood, to addressing the economic harms that have been visited on working people in the middle class, to make healthcare affordable and accessible. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have a very narrow legislative majority, or maybe we'll have a split legislature. We have to have a governor who knows how to get things done in that difficult legislative environment and is ready to go on day one. So that's me. If you look at my career of over 20 years, I have been able to make big progressive changes on a whole range of challenging issues like reproductive rights, healthcare, criminal justice reform, in these various types of legislative environments. And I think that length of time, that record of making change as an advocate, legislator, attorney, small business owner, I think that really sets me apart.
I hear you making sure that you hit both sides of what you would call, I don't know, the electability question, both for the primary and in the general election, in that there has to be a desire to go bold on issues if Democrats, especially if they have a trifecta with the Assembly and the Senate. But if they don't, there also has to be the side of the equation in the general election of being able to get things done. And you believe that you can be the best of both worlds when you go through a primary campaign.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at the different types of work that I have done as an attorney, small business owner, and as a legislative leader for about 10 years, you can see that I have been able to work across the aisle on important issues like expanding access to healthcare and helping nurse practitioners be more available for folks in rural and urban communities. But I've also really been a champion on issues that matter a lot to Democratic primary voters, like reproductive freedom, like public education, like childcare and paid family leave. And those issues, I think, are going to be broadly popular in the overall electorate, but they're also going to be very important, I think, for Democratic primary voters when they're looking at the field and saying, who do I think not just agrees with me on the issue, but actually has a plan and knows how to get it done and has the experience to thread that narrow, you know, that small needle and get things passed quickly, because we know Republicans have dominated the legislature for 30 of the last 32 years. They've controlled at least one house and they have blocked so much progress. So when we have a narrow window, whether it's a Republican assembly, but only by a seat or two, or a Democratic assembly only by a seat or two, we need a governor that can effectively herd that legislature and get things done.
You are in Madison, where people are engaged. They're paying attention. They kind of like talking about politics. I'm in Green Bay, where people are exhausted, and they tend to be a little bit more connected to just putting food on their table and some of the basic economic issues. How do you message to folks outside of places like Madison and Milwaukee, where people really don't love what's happening with politics, but still are struggling with so much of the fallout from the political decisions that are being made?
Yeah, I think it's really important to connect those dots for people about why working people have been working harder than ever. We're more productive, and yet it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet. And that's not just because of rising prices, it's also because wages have been really, really stagnant. You know, Wisconsin's minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. It hasn't been raised in my adult life. And that is so unacceptable. And you can see how worker power has diminished over time. And so helping people sort of see that the fact that they are struggling or they're not living and thriving in the way that they should be, given how hard they're working, and that it's not your fault. It is the system by design to try to make the wealthiest even wealthier. And I'm talking about billionaires and big corporations who are not paying their fair share. And that's, by the way, also why your kid's school is being defunded and you're having to constantly vote to raise your own property taxes to keep the lights on. So when I'm traveling around the state, and this is not new for me, I mean, I have spent my career working to build Democratic power, working to make change. After law school, I was the head of a statewide reproductive rights organization, and I traveled around the state and talked about really challenging personal issues, right? Abortion rights, sex education, reproduction, with people. And I just think if you sit down and listen to people and truly hear them, you can build connections, even with people who might initially disagree or be disengaged. And I think that political work is really, really important. And that's what I have spent my life doing. You know, I'm not someone who sits in a Madison bubble. I have always traveled around the state. I have knocked doors in most of the Senate districts in the state. I have helped to flip the Supreme Court, not by focusing on Madison and on Dane County, but by traveling around the state to these swing areas that I knew it was going to be really important. And I think that commitment to really being a governor for the entire state of Wisconsin is important.
We are talking to State Senator Kelda Royce about her run for governor. And Kelda, you can put on your legislator hat as well on this one, because we are now in the fall session of the legislature. And with the state budget being done, we turn to other bills that are out there. Republicans have put together a package of bills dealing with education. Democrats put together a package dealing with education. And there seems to be pretty clear differences between the packages and how they prioritize educating our kids and being fair to our taxpayers.
That's right. I mean, the Republicans straight up said that what they're looking at for our schools is school closures, it's consolidation, and it's continued underfunding and privatization. And I think that's really offensive, because every kid in Wisconsin, it is their birthright to get a good public education. And it shouldn't matter who you are, where you're from, you know, the zip code you're in, how much money your parents have. The quality of your education should not be contingent on those things. Democrats believe that public education is essential for every student, and that we have to make sure that our students and teachers have what they need to succeed. Money is a part of it. I mean, you can't do it without money, and our kids have not had even an inflationary increase in our schools for 15 years. But it's not just money, right? It's also about making sure that students and teachers are equipped to succeed. And so that's things like getting distractions out of the classroom, making sure that teachers have adequate professional development time. We don't expect firefighters and police officers to buy their own equipment. And we have all kinds of programs to help people get the training that they need. But for teachers, you know, we're happy to just make them pay out of pocket and take their own personal time to do it. And I think, that's one of the things that's contributing to the teacher retention crisis, in addition to obviously the changes that were made in Act 10 that have made it very, very difficult for teachers in the classroom.
As the mom of a public school teacher, yes, that is also entirely true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to shift to something a little bit more personal. You have a whole pack of kids. I have a whole pack of kids.
And yes, we do.
Yes. I mean, together we've got teams, like we could compete. And when you listen to your kids, like they inform so much of the stuff that I do, because they're paying attention, and they and their friends have ideas about the future that they want to see. How do your children, how does your family inform you as you are moving forward in this really, I mean, this is an incredible thing that you're doing, and it's very challenging. So how do your kids see this and help you on your path?
Well, I'm just really lucky, because my kids are very supportive. I have two young adult stepdaughters that have been in my life and have helped to raise since they were 4 and 7. And one recently graduated from college and is interested in environmental science and research. So she's, you know, she and I talk a lot about all different kinds of political issues, and she helps me keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in college campuses and how to engage young people. And then my oldest stepdaughter is actually an ICU nurse. And so we talk a lot about obviously healthcare and what it's like for that healthcare workforce. You know, we talked about how teachers are have been squeezed, but boy, our healthcare workforce is really being run ragged as well. So figuring out how we get more young people in that healthcare pipeline and how we can retain the healthcare workers that we have. And then I've got three little ones that are 11, 7, and 4. So I have childcare and early childhood, and you know, seeing the incredible work that our childcare educators do, to get kids ready for school, to help them learn how to solve their problems without biting or hitting. You know, to teach kids how to
the legislature too, by the way, just
sorry,
tell that to some of the legislators too.
Yeah.
Honestly, it sounds like there's kids in the backseat bickering sometimes to hear things from the other side of the aisle. Learn more at keldaforgov.com. Head over to Facebook and Instagram at Kelda Royce is the handle there. State Senator Kelda Royce, always great to connect. Safe travel. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back in our next hour, we will be talking about Madison Matters with our civic media friends, John and Gordy. Jimmy Cuska has an update with sports as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results that's going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Before we bring Jimmy Cuska and Kristen, before you go, I wanted to bring up a comment from Tony, who talked about Ashland proposing a four-day school week for budget reasons. How can working parents handle that? There already is no daycare available, and now you're cutting school years or school weeks down to 4 days a week. And again, it's not just Kelda, but it's a message that we hear over and over and over again, that when you're not supporting education or when you're not supporting Medicaid, as we were talking about earlier this hour, I mean, there's just, for a bunch of people to talk about business, there's no return on investment for these kinds of cuts.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be a kid going to school for longer days, four days a week, with all of the things that they're doing and their extracurricular activities. And, you know, especially as you get older and you're trying to cram in all that other stuff in the evening, that doesn't sound awesome to me. But hey, I think it is important to think of it in a holistic way from a community perspective, considering all of the resources that you've got and what you need to buffer.
Yeah. So the news sometimes feels glum. And so we like to sometimes lift the load by thinking of something light and fun, like sports. Anyway, the Packers lost, the Badgers lost, the Brewers lost. Here's Jimmy Cusco with more. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the room down. You haven't even said a word yet, and I'm already
depressed. My high school team, my coach lost too, you know, so
there,
like,
you
we're all just hurting right now.
Okay. Let me reset. Ladies and gentlemen, your Milwaukee Brewers for the third year in the row are Central Division champions. So we got that going for us.
Yes, that is the if you're looking for a silver lining this weekend, if you're rooting for all the Wisconsin sports, your silver lining is that the Brewers are indeed division champions.
And, and once again, thank you. We've been thanking Jerry Jones, you know, for Micah Parsons. Let's say thank you again to Craig Counsell for, in this case, getting swept by the Reds, the Cubs did, so that we could clinched the division yesterday, even after losing to St. Louis. So, Kriggers, thank you.
The other good news for the Brewers is that they're three games up for the best record in the NL and the number one seed. And that's important because that keeps them out of the wild card round. It keeps them at home more often than not, depending on, you know, how far they advance to the playoffs. So there's other good news, too, to come out of just the Brewers. And, you know, it's funny because usually by the time we hit mid to late September, we've forgotten about the Brewers in the past anyway. Mm-hmm. And we're already on to, you know, hey, the Packers just had a, you know, their right tackles as their second string tackle and take over that spot. That would be the big debate today. But no, we're talking Brewers because they are by far the best thing going. And that's to say that the Packers aren't, you know, doing well. Obviously, 2-1, good start, 2 wins to start the year, you know, things like that. But for sure are a bright spot for us right now.
Yes, they are. And don't sugarcoat the Packers thing at all. Yeah, 2-1's a good start. Yeah, but that one loss, that was a stinkeroo. It was a boring game to watch, but that's also a credit to the defenses on both teams. But okay, you're more of a football guy than I am. Okay. I totally get this. You got 6 minutes left. Just run out the clock. Emphasis on run, you know. Don't fumble the ball and maybe don't throw it into the hands of the other player. And Jordan Love talks about it being a miscommunication thing. I just think it's more of a coaching thing. Is you're handing the ball to Jacobs the whole game. Just keep running it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at the end of the game, there's going to be a lot of things we can second guess. There's a lot of special team stuff. There's a lot of things you can point to. It's one that definitely got away. You could tell because when our very own Mike Clemens sends us the post-game audio, he's sending us files that say bleeped or edited. The players are so mad. So like half the files we get, there's some kind of swearing in it.
Parker loves that when we send him stuff going, hey, bleep this for us, please, Parker.
It's a great time. You need to go all the way back through everything and going,
yep. The best part about that, though, nowadays compared to when we were growing up, it was, you know, they'd either beep it, there'd be a bleep, or they just bring the sound down so that you didn't hear the word. And the thing I like now is we'll just put sound effects over it. You'll hear a cow move, or you'll hear a cartoon anvil crack, whatever, just to say, yeah, that's a word we can't say. And that is what has been happening this week. But again, it's just a week. Brewers are already heading to San Diego. They've left St. Louis. They will be taking on the Padres tonight. 8:05 is the start time on Civic Media stations around the state. Three games in San Diego, day off Thursday, and then a three-game homestand next weekend against Cincinnati. And then we get to thinking about the postseason. So
they get a week off after that. If things hold, they're three games up for that top record. They would have the whole week off from the wild card round and come back to work Saturday. And I think, you know, for the Brewers, I mean, they really peaked in the middle of the year, right? They were really dominant in the middle of the year. This could come at a great time given, you know, how banged up they've been getting in the pitching, especially the bullpen. So this comes at a pretty good time. But, you know, there are some fun things to watch this week. The Brewers-Reds game on Saturday has been picked up for a national broadcast. So I think people are really trying to tune in and see what the Brewers are going to bring to this postseason.
And then the Packers, they head to Dallas for next Sunday night. So they won't be home. Kristen's got more time to recuperate the knee because then they have a bye week. So they're not at Lambeau again until October 12th, Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to stretch. They play Cincinnati once at home in like a month, like what, a month and a half? It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, they knew so. Kristen's got to heal up, you know, because right. She loves to ride your bike all the way out there.
That'll be fun with the Micah Parsons thing, the Dallas game.
Yes, it will.
How many times do you think they're going to put up Spencer Young's Packers fence with the sad Jerry Jones face over there?
That's
going to be on TV like a million times this week.
That's okay. They especially if it works out. If it doesn't work out, then, you know, we'll hear about, oh, you jinxed it and blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking forward to this. I really am. Dallas is that's the team you want to beat. And I love that when Dallas was playing Chicago and like, oh, these two storied franchises, like, no, both franchises are a shell of what they used to be. So more so when you take Mike out of there. Hey, one more time reminder on the new Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. You've got less than a minute to text us new, N-E-W, and there will be more chances to win throughout the day and over the next couple of weeks. Jimmy, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Talk to you Wednesday.
And Kristen, of course, has the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. You can get it as a podcast or catch it over the weekends on Civic Media stations in Green Bay, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Thank you, Kristen. Have a great day.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great week.
All right. Yes. Talk to you a little later. All right. Our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. Coming up after the news, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's continued to pressure Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says he's already made changes within the Justice Department.
President Trump just days ago forced out a top federal prosecutor whose office did not find any evidence to back up allegations that New York Attorney General Letitia James committed mortgage fraud after months of investigating.
President's going to nominate his former defense attorney, Lindsey Halligan, as U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. She has no experience as a prosecutor. The Washington Post reports the president's going to announce a link today between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. The UK among the countries to announce recognition of a Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls this an absurd award for terrorism, expected to be a major topic at the UN General Assembly, which begins today. This is ABC News.